Welcome to Ministry Profile. Stay tuned as we take a closer look at ministries serving throughout our Calvary Radio Network listening area. And now, here's today's host.
Welcome back to Ministry Profile. My name is Len Parrott, and it's great to be with you today. Also joining us today is Pastor Bill Grandy from Owen Valley Christian Fellowship in Spencer, Indiana. Pastor Bill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Len. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, for those that don't know where Spencer, Indiana is, it's about 50 miles southwest of Indianapolis. Is that about right?
Yes. Usually tell people we're west of Bloomington, okay. Southwest of Indianapolis.
Uh-huh. I know that area down there. It's a very beautiful part of Indiana. You have McCormick's Creek State Park down there, Lieber State Park, Brown County State Park, Shackamack State Park. There's several caves in the area down there. It's a beautiful part of Indiana. We like to go camping down there.
McCormick's Creek is only about 4/10 of a mile from our building.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I really envy you being down there. It's great fishing and everything.
It is pretty. And a lot of hills.
Yeah.
But that's the good part.
So, Pastor Bill, have you always been from that area?
No, actually, I grew up in Pennsylvania, a suburb of Pittsburgh, so that makes me a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. And after high school, I went to college in Kentucky and then have been in churches in Indiana and Ohio since then.
Okay. So about how long have you been in Indiana?
We've been here. I moved here in November of 2005 and started here. We were in Terre Haute for a while and then moved to Ohio and then back here to Spencer.
Mm-hmm. So you're an avid bicyclist, I understand.
Yeah, I try to be. I've been cycling for, over 20 years now.
Oh, great.
And it's a different kind of cycling around here because of all the hills.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's a nice break from the flatlands.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Bill, tell us about your early life when you did grow up in Pennsylvania. Were you raised in a Christian family?
My mother did a good part of raising us. I had three brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a church attender, and that was about it. Probably the biggest influence upon me was my grandfather on my mother's side. And my mother always wanted to be a missionary, and little did she realize that four boys would be her mission field. And so she was very conscientious about making sure that we not only went to church, but we knew the Lord. And so with my grandmother's help too, but especially my grandfather, I came to know the Lord at a pretty young age.
Oh, really? Tell us about that. What age were you?
I was 8. We'd always gone to church, and I, like a lot of young people, I heard about Jesus and had gone to Sunday school and all of that. And one Good Friday, I told my mom I wanted to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And the next Sunday on Easter, I was baptized. Not that the church believed that baptism saved a person, but
right.
That was the, the public commitment part.
Mm-hmm.
But just like a lot of young people, I had a lot to learn, and I look back now and I think, that was probably the initial step, but it was when I was in college and working at a church camp that I made my real commitment to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So during all that time, from 8 years old on through high school, where in that area were you going to become a pastor?
Well, my late mother told me once that all along as she could remember, I always talked about being a pastor. I had the dream of being a professional baseball player like a lot of little boys do, and I played baseball up in the high school, and then I started playing basketball, and of course then I wanted to be a professional basketball player, but the skills weren't there. But Mom said, I never talked about being a fireman or a policeman or anything else. The only thing I really ever talked about was being a pastor. So I guess from the early part that has always been there, and I went through a period where, I kind of forgot that, but I don't believe God ever took the calling off my life. So when I went to college, I went there to play basketball, but it was while I was there that God really cemented the calling. And I actually started out as a youth pastor and then realized what I really wanted to do was preach.
So when you originally went to college, you went to play basketball, but what did you study? Was that a secular type of field you were going to study, or were you studying?
No.
Okay. You went to a Bible college?
No, it was a Bible college in
okay.
Kentucky, and I went there, and of course a major was Bible, and
mm-hmm.
so that's where my studying was. It was focused on biblical studies,
mm-hmm.
and then I took some classes. I took a class when I was a senior, actually, on preaching. I had already begun preaching on a weekend at a small country church in Kentucky, and mm-hmm. I really fell in love with it. I was just raw and rough, but I really loved the opportunity to speak.
So in college, is that where you met your wife? Tell us about that story.
Yeah, actually, she lived in Sandusky, Ohio, and I grew up in Pennsylvania, and she came to school as a freshman after staying out a year from high school, and we had a group of friends that we hung around together. It was probably about 8 to 10 of us, and we used to do stupid things like go caving and things that I would cringe now if either one of my daughters did that. But we hung around together, did a lot of things together, and actually our first date ended up in a disagreement. But eventually we got together and realized that we cared about each other and then allowed the relationship to grow. So we dated through our sophomore and junior year in college, and then we got married between our junior and senior year.
So then after college, did you go into the pastorate right after that, or was there a period of time of a work history outside of the pastorate?
No, our senior year, we were married, and then my best male friend, whom I'm still friends with, his dad was looking for an associate. And so the way our situation was, we didn't have to go to seminary. I immediately graduated and went right to work in Akron, Ohio, mm-hmm. as an associate youth pastor. And he kind of took me under his wing and mentored me for 2.5 years until he finally looked at me and said, Bill, you really need to be preaching. You don't need to be doing youth ministry. Mm-hmm. So that was a very valuable time for me in more ways than one, and did a lot of growing up in those 2.5 years, but found out that there was still a whole lot more to do. our situation was, I was one of the fortunate ones that there was a church waiting for me when I came off. You know, when I graduated, I went right to the church and began to work.
And where was that at?
Akron, Ohio.
Akron, okay. And how long were you there?
I was there 2.5 years as a youth pastor. And actually, a couple of the folks from that church moved to another town, and they started attending a church there. When that church was looking for a pastor, they came and asked senior pastor if he thought I would be interested. And he said, yes, I do. So, and that's how it all developed, to where I moved to Marion, Ohio at the time and pastored there for 5 years in a little country church out in the middle of nowhere.
So what brings you to Spencer, Indiana? How did that develop?
It's a God thing. We had been in Terre Haute, Indiana for 13 years. And the ministry was ending. My wife's father had already died, and my wife's mother was having signs of Alzheimer's or dementia. So we moved in with her, and my wife was able to kind of take care of her. While I was there, the church that we had been attending, the pastor left there, and they asked me if I would be interested in coming there. And so I preached, and they asked me if I would become their pastor. And so we were there for 5 years, but it was a very older congregation. Probably the median age was 60, and was still very traditional in a lot of ways. And I felt like I was dying. I told my wife, I said, I'm still young. I'm not ready to just roll over yet. So she was actually looking online, and she said, I saw a church in Spencer, Indiana, which we knew where that was. She said, you need to look at that. And I said, okay. And about a week later, she said, have you looked at that church in Spencer yet? I said, no. She said, you ought to. So I took that as, okay, maybe I ought to listen to her. So I made a phone call and talked to the pastor who had been here for a couple months and was leaving, and I asked him, would you go there? He said, in a heartbeat. He had just found another ministry that suited him better. Mm-hmm. And so I applied and went through all the emails and the questionnaires and everything. Next thing I know, they were calling me to say they wanted an interview. And they had four guys that they were interested in and narrowed it down to me and asked me to come down and to meet everybody and to preach. And they voted, and the rest, as they say, is history. That was in September, on September 11th, actually, in 2005, okay. When I preached for them, and then we started here in November of 2005. So that is a God thing. My wife saw the saw the advertisement, you know, that, hey, there's a church here, and they were looking for someone who was young, but I mean, was a little bit older, actually, because I was already in my 50s, mm-hmm. and they were looking for somebody older because the church was so young. Mm-hmm. And it had only started like a year before that. So I tell folks that even though I did not start the church as a church planner, I feel like I am because, you know, it was so new. There were so many things that weren't in place. And so, you know, we had to find a mission and vision statement and put some things in place. And so that, to me, that was a God thing. My wife saw it and persisted in pushing me toward it. And so I'm glad she did.
It sounds like you were just about the church planner. If you had to put together the mission statement and all that, there's a lot to do yet to get this church rolling and underway.
Yeah, and it was all new to me because I'd never been in a church situation. I had always gone to established churches, most of them small. And that was the one question they asked me when I came here, can you operate in a small town? And actually, I love the small town. There is a ministry called The Sticks. Artie Davis has it out of South Carolina, and it's a ministry geared to pastors of small towns. That's where I feel my heart is. I'm not real fond of wanting to be in a big city.
Yeah.
I just like a small town church.
Mm-hmm.
And Spencer's not very big, maybe, I don't know, 3,000 people. Owen County's about 23,000, but mm-hmm. the town itself is only 3,000. So I really feel comfortable here, and I really like it. And then moving here, it was like a church plant because the church didn't have, other than a place to meet, they had really no direction, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Okay.
And so that was one of the things that I had to do when I first got here is we sat down as a group of men and said, okay, what's our mission? What's our vision? And where do we want to go with this train? And then we were just renting a facility just like most church plants do. And in the long run, it wasn't a church plant, but I felt like one.
So you weren't originally in the building you're in now?
No, sir. Okay. We were in what was called the sports complex. We were down there for a couple of years, and then we thought we'd be able to get into the middle school, and they let us into the middle school for about 4 months, and then came back and said that when we said you could use it, you couldn't use it permanently. So we went back to the complex, but it was old, and it was dirty, and it really limited our children's program. And we could only be in there on Sundays, and we had to pay for Sunday and Wednesday, and they really jacked the rent up to us. And so we'd been looking the whole time. We looked at different kinds of facilities, and some were monsters that were way, way too big, and some were just too small. And we are actually in an old Mormon church building that had sat empty for 6 to 7 years, and the realtor worked with us, and they worked with them, and they had dropped the price considerably. So we moved into this building in October of 10 was our first official Sunday.
We're talking with Pastor Bill Grandy of Owen Valley Christian Fellowship in Spencer, Indiana, in case you just joined us. And Pastor Bill, it looks like now that you're in your new building, you guys are back out in the community, involved in many community outreaches, service projects for the elderly, crisis pregnancy center, clothes for school children. So it looks like you're really doing a lot of community outreaches.
Yeah, we're trying to do that. One of the designs of the church from the very beginning, and before I came, was they didn't want to do church as normal. And so one of the things we have attempted to do over time has been to get more and more involved in the community, because we don't want to be a church that just meets on Sunday and then does nothing else. We want to influence the community. Our mission statement says is to win the heart of Owen County, and the only way we're going to do that is by getting involved in the people's lives. And like you said, we have helped with clothes for children. We help with school supplies. One of the things we're taking more of an active part in is, it's called New Beginnings Pregnancy Resource Center now. So we're trying to get more involved in the saving of lives rather than being a detractor and, you know, preaching against something. Let's preach for something. And trying to get involved in the Chamber of Commerce and also a thing called Systems of Care here in Owen County, which is an organization trying to help make a way for teenagers and even their parents, but especially teenagers, to get to appointments where they need help and can get counseling. We have heard that, for example, Owen County is the number one meth producer in the state of Indiana. Well, that directly affects children and directly affects the family. And so, you know, addiction is a big issue in our community, as is teen pregnancy. So we're trying to do everything we can to help out. I went last night to the Pinwheels program from the Department of Child Services because they're trying to save children and make a safe place for children. Well, we want to be that safe place. We want them to know the church is the safest place to be. And we want to influence. We want to influence for the good. Mm-hmm. If I can put it in that way.
Sure.
And so we're trying to get involved And I know this Saturday, for example, is a Safe at Home project that some of our men and women are going to be involved in, where we go into homes to help make them safer for senior citizens, cleaning their walks, getting rid of some of the sticks and everything, and also putting grab bars and helping with clutter and things like that, just to make homes safer. We want to be a church that's involved in the community.
Yeah. They always say that, and this would ring so true, is that when you touch people's lives, where they're at in their everyday life, they listen to the message you have to bring with you.
And we believe that. Uh-huh. And that's one of the things that we have really tried to stress, is let's get involved in people's lives. And when you do something for somebody, it softens their heart.
Yeah.
And gives you, for lack of a better word, it gives you credibility and gives you a platform.
And it shows you care.
Exactly. And that's more than anything. It's one thing to say, yeah, we wanted to show these people that we care. It's another thing to do.
Yeah.
And so we want to do things to show people that we care. Mm-hmm. Now, if they choose to go to another church, fine, just go to church somewhere.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
We want to be there for them if they have a need. This past weekend, we had a grief recovery weekend, because there is a lot of grief in this community, as in every community, but we seem to have an inordinate amount of grief, both through like suicide, but also loss of babies, and you know, just a massive amount of grief, as well as the normal things like spouses dying and your children. And so we offered a grief recovery weekend this past weekend. We brought some people in to help out. I am not qualified to be that grief counselor, so we brought folks in who have experienced grief and some who are grief counselors to help. So we had a pretty good attendance. I was pleased with it from the community. Very few of our own people came, but a lot came from the community, really? Which I was thrilled with. I think we just got to show that we care, not just talk it.
It looks like you're just keeping your eyes and your ears open for what the community needs are, because you care about the community, and then you work to meet those needs.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I mentioned this last night. You know, when I wanted to come to Spencer, I would tell some people, and they said, what do you want to go there for? That's a dump of a town. And, you know, I said, oh, I don't care. There's still people who need Jesus. And so as I've been here since November of 2005, I have literally fallen in love with this place. And my wife and I, we are content that if we are to spend our last days here and to die here, that would be okay. Even though our family, our two girls, live elsewhere, we would be content to spend the rest of our lives here in Spencer.
Uh-huh.
Because we have fallen in love with this church and with these people. You know, grief and heartache and people knowing Jesus has no bounds. And it doesn't matter whether you're affluent or whether you're poor. Spencer, Owen County, is the second poorest county of Indiana. You know, that in itself gives a whole new perspective on why some things happen, like the drug addiction and the meth production, that other counties don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still people.
Yeah.
And so we've literally fallen in love with the people here in this town, and especially in this church.
Sounds like the place Jesus would have planted roots.
Well, I'd like to think that.
So you're also involved somewhat in overseas missions, too, in Revive Liberia. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, that is actually a dream brainchild of two of the men from our congregation, Mark Parmenter and Phil Eckert. And Mark has taken more of a backseat of late, but Phil and his wife Karen have really taken on this mission with Liberia, and it's almost like Phil's heart and soul. The genius of the whole thing is, you know, how some missionaries will go in and try to Americanize people.
Yeah.
They've gone over there with the idea of helping these people become self-supporting. The Wood Miser from Indianapolis has been tremendous in providing materials. They provided a saw for them, and it's over there, and they are learning how to use all this material themselves to make doors, to cut wood, so they can make money and make a living on their own. They're not relying on American money sent over there to help out. The American money that goes over there is actually from the pastor support program that Revive Liberia does.
Mm-hmm.
And It's where we commit, and the church has committed to supporting two pastors per month. We send money to them, and it goes to them, and then they do whatever they want. I know that there's Phil tells stories of one pastor who has taken his $60 a month is all they ask for, and he gives it to like three other pastors. He himself supports pastors over there. So that's what is so good about Revive Liberia is we're not trying to Americanize Liberia. Yeah. We're trying to help people in Liberia become self-supporting. Uh-huh. And they're having a tremendous influence in the Muslim community because of their Christian school over there. And it's all being taught by Liberians, you know, by people who are there, not by Americans who go over there and say, okay, now learn like we do. So that's what's really cool about the whole mission organization, Revive Liberia.
Once again, it sounds like show the people you care about them.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what Phil and I know Phil and Karen just came back from Liberia about 2 weeks ago. And Phil goes over there to not only just be a cheerleader, but also to see how the work is going. And it's amazing what God is doing over there. Witch doctors being won to Christ because uh-huh. of their ministry. And Muslim families saying, we want our children to be in your school because it's such a good school that it's taught by the people over there, not by Americans.
That's exciting.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Well, Pastor Bill, as we come to the end of our time already here, is there anything about Owen Valley Christian that you'd like to cover that we haven't talked about?
Well, I could talk forever about the church. We are a good bunch of people. Very, very common. You would come here and would not see a tie. You might see a dress or two, but most of the time, you know, we dress very, very casual. It's not unusual for me to wear jeans and, you know, a pullover shirt or a dress shirt on a Sunday morning to preach. We have a band. I spoke with someone yesterday, and one of the things that they found as a drawback is we didn't sing hymns from a hymn book. And you won't find that, you know. And our philosophy has been we are not a church for everybody, but we are for a church for people who need somebody. So I look at our purpose as Galatians 6:14, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ. And that's what we want to be all about. You come here, you'll hear about Jesus, and you'll be loved as Jesus loved you. We're very simple people. We have a 9 o'clock and a 10:45 service, and they're exactly the same. Obviously, the second one is more well-attended because people like to sleep later. But I would just say we're a simple congregation, a simple people who love Jesus, and I try to preach expository sermons. Just here's the word, let's say it. Here's the message. Here's what Jesus said. Here's what Paul said. Let's live it. So, you know, I'm excited about the future. I'm 61. My wife and I will be celebrating 41 years in June, and I'm more excited now than I've ever been before. We have a youth pastor that has brought fantastic new life to our church fellowship and to the young people. He's been here just a little over a year. And Ryan is doing a tremendous job working with the young people, and it's just been a tremendous asset. And it's amazing how God brings everything together.
Well, we've been talking with Pastor Bill Grandy from Owen Valley Christian Fellowship in Spencer, Indiana. They are located at 338 State Road Highway 43, which is just south of the intersection of 43 and 46. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. 0.3 mile.
All right. And phone number for more information is 812-828-9840. And their website is ovcf.org. Really needs to be checked out. That is a great website. There's sermon notes. There's podcasts. There's upcoming events. There's a blog on there. There's even the local weather. So it's a wonderful website to check out.
Yeah, and the guy that does that, Ryan, he does a tremendous job with it. He does it all volunteer work.
And a great and colorful website, too. Well, Pastor Bill, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Len, for the opportunity to talk with you. Appreciate it.
And I'd like to thank our listeners out there. It's always a pleasure being with you. And we love it here at Calvary Radio when you take the time out to write us and tell us about your favorite programs. And we appreciate when you tell others about us. So until next time, this is Len Parra. Have a blessed evening.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Ministry Profile right here on Calvary Radio. If you'd like more information on the ministry that we highlighted today, or if there's a ministry that you think that we should highlight, please call us at 866-303-9457. That's 866-303-9457. Or visit our website, www.calvaryradionetwork.com. Tune in again next week as we highlight another ministry that's serving throughout our Calvary Radio Network listening area.